Hecklers, go to the back. Father Mark, you're on him. Anyway, they're mom genes, okay? So this is, I'm just telling you this because I'm excited that my child will let me wear her jeans. Well, she gave them to me. Yeah. Well, no, that's another story. These are the ones that she can't fit into anymore because she's too little. So anyway, what's funny about that is they made mom jeans. She wouldn't let me wear mom jeans. I was like, they're made for moms. They're supposed to be worn by moms. And so today, she finally decided I could wear her mom jeans. So see, that has no relevance, but I think it's funny. So I wanted to share it. But anyway, y'all, this conference, and I'm going to probably cry a little bit because you can't help but cry when you encounter the Lord. And I'm a crier when I encounter the Lord. That's just the way it is. And so, and we've been having, like Craig was talking about yesterday, we've been having just a one long period going on here since Mother's Day of just encountering. And some of the things the Lord told us early on when this first happened, and I had a lot of caffeine, and caffeine makes my heart pound, and my heart pounds, my mouth gets really dry, so I'm really sorry. I'll be drinking a lot of water. But anyway, one of the things the Lord told us about this, you know, because it took us like a long time to finally just accept it and not be trying to put words to it. There's just one word, encounter. That's the only word there is. And one of the things the Lord told us was that we would have to be intentional about pursuing him. And so being here at this conference, I knew this was the Lord gave me a prophetic word for this conference. And I knew that being at this conference was being intentional to learn more about my identity in him. It was actually a prophetic word that if you would be intentional, you would encounter the Lord. So there really is an open heaven here, y'all. It's a portal right now to just encounter the Lord. And when you encounter him, obviously, you get revelation of him. And when you get revelation of him, it just changes you. It just changes everything about you. And so, thank you. That works. So anyway, everybody who's here has been intentional to come for the purpose of what this conference is about. So you can expect revelation. You can expect breakthrough into a new place. Okay. Amen. So I'm going to start with a verse. You know, so one of the things that Bishop keeps saying is what you believe about yourself. The most important thing about you is what you believe about God and what God believes, what you believe God thinks about you. So what you believe about yourself will dominate how you act and how you feel. So Proverbs 3:7, is it 3? 23:7, excuse me. Well, I can just quote it. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. And my Bible adds, and in his behavior. So how we feel about ourselves and is how we believe is how we will feel about ourselves. It'll dominate how we feel, how we act. We have two ways of believing as Christians. Generally, not just Christians. Anybody, everybody believes two ways. You either live under condemnation or you live under grace. And if you live under condemnation, you will feel and act like you're under condemnation. If you believe that you are under grace, you'll live and act like you're under grace. A little bit about condemnation, and I can tell you about condemnation because I lived under it so much for so long. Condemnation is, it's a voice. It is a demonic voice. It is straight from the pit of hell. It is just the devil throwing lies at you. It comes in a lot like little fox sometimes. You don't even realize it, that what you're thinking is condemnation. That voice that comes at you, I think Craig was sharing this the other day, it's 100% of the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, constantly accusing you, constantly pointing out and telling you what you did wrong, telling you that you didn't do it right, telling you that you're not good enough. If you live under condemnation, you never feel good enough. You never. I don't care if you actually didn't do anything wrong. Your emotions just can't click into, I'm okay, that I'm wonderful. All you can feel is that you're awful. And when you're under condemnation, you fear your decisions. You fear if, like when I used to be, when Craig and I would ride to church together, sometimes he can make me late. I am very much an on-time person, but sometimes Craig can make me late. Too far. I could hear me so good. I didn't know y'all couldn't. Thank you. Because fear and condemnation go hand in hand. That condemnation is fearing the worst. Okay, so Craig would make me late. Back to my story, and I would just start panicking. Like I can't be late. I can't be late. I can't be late. Luke's gonna get mad at me. Luke, you know, I'm gonna throw off the worship team. And while I'm late, I'm not seeing. All I can see is the worst. All I can think about is. And that's really condemnation, y'all. That's condemnation because you think the worst is going to happen. It's not going to work out. It's going to be bad. And that's where that is where a lot of people live. And you think that, no, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to think like that because I don't want to be late. But it's not a good thing to think like that. If fear is never a good thing. Feeling bad about yourself is never a good thing. God doesn't feel that way about us. We shouldn't feel that way about ourselves. So if you're under condemnation, you spend a lot of time second-guessing yourself, rehashing old conversations, trying to think. You're always thinking about how you could have done it differently, and it doesn't matter how differently you would have done it. You'd be having the same conversation because the conversation that you're having is with the enemy. And he's relentless. If he couldn't get you there, he'll find you somewhere else. But if you have that conversation with the Lord, he is relentless. You cannot win it. It is an exhausting battle. I'm telling you, recently when I just started waking up, I just started waking up to this, and I just thought, it is exhausting to question yourself all the time, and it is exhausting to be afraid every time you make a decision, like going to the grocery store. Oh, my God. Y'all, I didn't realize prices had gone up that high. I went to the grocery store and just la-di-da-ed around, did what I do, and when I rang it up, it was almost $500. I was like, what? I'm probably the only person walking through there in the store with a full buggy. I know why now. But anyway, so when you spend too much money, how many men sit around and think, oh, God, it's not, what have I done? How are we going to do this? It's not going to work out. You know, how many people do that? How many women spend too much money and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, what am I going to suffer when I get home? You know, I do not have to go through that. He quit doing that to me a long time ago, and I praise God for that. So if you do that to your wife, you got to stop, because all you're doing is putting her under condemnation. I'm not saying you can't come to an agreement, but you can't do that to your wife. But anyway, so condemnation just literally puts fear on you. And there's so many ways the devil speaks it to us. And that's what I'm talking about, just all these different ways. Because it causes you to stress. Stress is not good. And you feel like you're always, always trying to earn God's favor. Condemnation is trying to get somewhere in your own abilities instead of looking at the Lord for his abilities. I think I wrote too many notes, y'all. So, if you don't understand grace and thus know who you are, you live without identity. If you don't have identity, you're always going to be trying to find it. You're always going to be trying to find it in something, money, your looks, your education. You're always going to be trying to find something to feel good about yourself. Problem is, it never lasts. You can maybe feel good about yourself for 1 minute, but what happens when somebody who's better comes along? You can find a little relief, but the passing pleasures of sin are just that. They're passing. And if you're trying to find identity apart from Christ, it fades. It just fades. You can't hold on to it. We were created for him. So therefore, we literally can't find identity in anyone or anything, because we weren't created for that. If you live with, they're just false things that are just, like we said, just fleeting. They're just momentary things that are going to be gone from you. But we don't live under the domain of darkness. Scripture says he took us out of that condemnation and he put us into the domain of grace. So now grace reigns and rules. Grace now writes our story. Grace doesn't just write our story, it rewrites our story. We now have his story. And I love that, because I've been able to just recently just let go of so many regrets. I just didn't realize the regret I was living in. I mean, I don't think I know a mother or a woman, period, that doesn't suffer with guilt and suffer with regret and things like that. I mean, you grow, if you know the Lord and as you're pursuing him, you grow out of those things. But I just didn't realize how much that was still sitting on me. When I came to the Lord, I'm going to kind of try to go full circle back here to where we are now. When I first came to the Lord, all I knew to do was to, I read this book, and this lady told her story about she would spend time with the Lord, and how she would know what to do and not to do would be that she would feel his presence when she would do what she should be doing, and not feel his presence like she would feel like he was leaving when she was doing something she shouldn't do. And so I read that book and I thought, okay, I don't really know what to do here, so I'm just going to look for God's presence. I'm going to start looking for him. And one of my favorite verses then was Hebrews. I don't remember which one, but you guys will probably recognize it. But it says, those who come to the Lord must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. 11:6. And I read that and I went, oh my God. Okay, so what the Lord's telling me is I can come to him and he's going to reward me. And so that was all it took for me. There again, I believed I would find God. And when I believed I would find God, I found him. And I acted like it. So if I believe, when I read that, I believed, and so I acted like it, and I started seeking him, and I found him. And then as I found him, and I will say this, I've been very fortunate, because I lived, when I first moved here, in a little house on that street over there with my grandparents. And I was going to another church, and I was getting ready to go to church one day, And I heard the Lord say, I want you to go up to this little church up here, talking about us. I was 18 years old. And I said, I don't know anybody up there. I kind of argued a little bit. Well, y'all, I walked in the church, and the minute I walked in the church, the Spirit of God fell on me, and when I knew that I knew I was home. So I've been here ever since. It's been quite a while. My point of that is that I'm very fortunate that I've been able to sit under teaching about relationship with God. And so I've been, my whole Christian life, I've been able to be under that kind of teaching. So that was very helpful in knowing where to go. So the one thing that Bishop always talked about was relationship. So that, and then Scripture telling you if you'll seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. It's all I needed. And I just started seeking him. And then when I started encountering him, which was immediately, and I say that because it's for everybody. This is God's heart for everybody. There is nobody that's, if our identity is Christ, we all have the same identity. We all share the same, every good thing that's about us, every wonderful thing, we all share this. It's all the same for all of us. We all share the same identity. But anyways, I begin to find him. And when you encounter the Lord's presence, it's addicting. It's just addicting. And the more you encounter him, the more addicted you get, the more you want. The more you encounter him, I want to say so many things about his presence. You know, his presence grows more and more and more beautiful, and it never stops. It keeps getting new all the time. You can't ever arrive because he is new all the time. You know that song says we keep seeing new sides of his face. I think they got that from that place in Revelation where it says that the angels are, and they're angels that have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of eyes all over their body. And it says that they swirl around the Lord day and night singing, holy, 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 which I've heard taught that holy means other. I love that word, other. I love that God is other than me. And other can be translated into transcendent beauty. Is that right? And these angels, they circle around God day and night saying, transcendent beauty, transcendent beauty. And they say this, and they say this, and it goes on and on. It's not because they're robots. It's not because they have to. And it is not because God needs them to. God is not needy. I have heard so many people say things like, I don't know how you think you're going to love God there if you can't love him here and all that. We're not put here to meet God's needs, y'all. He's not needy. He meets our needs. All he wants is a relationship with us. He just wants us. Anyway, these angels, they're doing that because they're seeing beauty. And there's all these eyes, and they're seeing new beauty every second. They're not staring at one thing and going, oh, that's beautiful, that's beautiful. No, they're going, oh my God, it's just beautiful, it's just beautiful, it's just beautiful. Everywhere I look is just beauty, and everything about God is beautiful. Scripture says he is wholly desirable. Holy from the core of his, he is just desirable. So as I began to just seek the Lord and find him, you know, he proves himself to you. You just fall in love with him, and he just over and over and over again just proves himself to you. He would prove himself that he's never going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. That I can come to him. There's never going to be a moment where he's going to reject me, no matter what I've done, whatever, he's not going to reject me. So I, in seeking him, I started getting comfortable with going to him, whether I'd, quickly going to him because whether I had just felt like I'd blown it or if whatever, I just got really comfortable going to the Lord knowing that I was going to meet with him. And I was still, but the one thing is, I was still living like I was going to him comfortable with that. But I was still thinking like that grace was something like I had to earn. Not earn, excuse me, I'll take that back. Not earn, but that grace was something that he threw at you in the moment. You know, like, I've got to do this, so I need your grace now, Lord. So he would throw grace on me. Or I really blew it, so now he's going to throw grace over that. I was living thinking like that, that's how the Lord viewed my life. Like, he loved me and accepted me just like I am, but I am a mess. But he's okay with that. He loves me, and he's going to get me not a mess. And so I would come to him still with that mindset of wanting to get grace, wanting to get holy, wanting to get his righteousness. And I'm telling you, that's a big difference, thinking like that or thinking, I am the righteousness of Christ. And you know, the more that we believe we'll find him, the more that we will seek him. And the Lord knows that, y'all. He just knows that about us. He's amazing. So somewhere along the line, over the last, now I've gotten to the place now where I believe God won't reject me or leave me or forsake me. And I don't know, I'm going to say this just in case somebody doesn't know this, because this really made a difference for me. That scripture that says God will never leave you nor forsake you. So you almost think he's repeating himself, but really leaving you would be physically leaving you. Forsaking you would be to emotionally turn his heart from you. And God promised he wouldn't turn his heart from us. He won't just not leave us, because for a long time I thought that God just meant that I'm going to stay with you. I won't leave you, but I really thought this is how he did me when I blew it. I really thought that. I really thought I'd have to go to him, ask for forgiveness before he would turn back around and take me in. So he brought me to a place where I realized he didn't turn his heart from me. But then on Mother's Day, we had this encounter with the Lord. And the Lord just started just telling us that he was taking us into encounters, a big, huge room of just encounters. And somewhere along the line, I'm listening to Bishop teach what I've heard him teach a ton of times. And all of a sudden, I just went, oh my God, I think I was even at home, laying in the bed. And all of a sudden, I just saw it. Oh my God. I'm not trying to become the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I'm not going to be the righteousness of God just because I act like it. I am the righteousness of God. And no matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter what goes on, I am the righteousness of God. And I go to him based on that. I can run to him at any moment and stand before him because I am the righteousness of Christ. I stand in Jesus's relationship. God deals with me how he deals with Jesus. My eyes, when I saw that, I just was like, oh my gosh. I mean, and it changes the way that small little tweaking of thinking, that revelation, it seems like a small tweak of thinking, It's just because you're kind of saying the same thing you were, but your mind is seeing it differently. When I saw that, and I started to go, wow, I am the righteousness of God. I just have been finding myself, I am starting to act more like it. Y'all, I'm walking in more joy. And I'm a joy junkie. I'll tell you that right now. I will let God have any attitude. I will let him have anything he wants as long as I can stay in that joy. You know, I don't like feeling bad. I don't. And so some of wanting joy is kind of selfish on my part. I really don't like feeling bad. But unfortunately, we all go through those seasons. And those seasons of feeling bad, it's okay. That's how God proves himself to you. And I got an awesome scripture that I see differently than some people do. I'm going to share it in just a minute. But anyway, as I've just began to believe that's who I am, I'm finding myself now. I'm experiencing him, you know? Like, okay, so God is so beautiful. He's so wonderful. His presence, you've never, ever, when you encounter the real presence of Christ, when you actually encounter him, his presence, not just a thought about him or what you think he does or acts, but you encounter him, you fall in love. You just fall in love. You get addicted. Like I was saying, his presence is addicting. If you don't get excited about his presence, you may never have actually been in it in a real way, an experiential way. Because the whole thing is that God is so big, when he knows that when we encounter him, we're going to change, which is why he draws us with his kindness and so forth. Anyway, I've just been finding just that my whole, as I'm finding my identity, because now I know that my identity is in Christ. My identity is Christ. I'm his righteousness. So I'm beginning to be, like Bishop was saying, I'm finding myself so captivated with him. You find yourself in situations and you're just acting differently. You're not stressing the way you used to. Not stressing at all, actually. You're finding yourself, your emotions not stressing out. And I'm finding myself running back quicker to the Lord when I do step out of it, the consciousness of his presence. And I'll tell you something really cool. And I really, really discovered this morning when I knew it, but I just discovered it in a different way. I'm finding myself, when I step out of the consciousness of him, running back to it faster than I ever have before. Not because I don't like myself, but because I don't like that sin. I don't like it. I don't like fussing. And I don't like complaining. And I don't like gossiping. And I don't like anger. And you can tell the things I dealt with. And really and truly, I'm just going to tell you right now, everybody deals with stuff. I have a little bit of Irish in me, and temper's been a thing that God has, totally changed, and Craig is so grateful. Bishop is grateful, but anyway, I'm finding myself not liking the sin, so it's not that I'm not liking myself. I'm realizing I'm not doing that. I'm not liking myself. I'm not walking in condemnation. I'm just not liking the sin, and I don't want to be in it, and I want to get right back over to God. You know what shame does? Shame makes you hate yourself. You don't hate sin when you walk in shame. You hate yourself. Shame can't make you not sin. Only God can. Only loving him can make you. Knowing his presence, knowing your identity in him, those are the things that change you. You can try all day long to muster up that you're just not going to do that anymore. You don't have to do that because you're already pleasing to God. You don't have to try to get pleasing to him. You can run to him with your stuff. You can run to him with your failures. You can run to him with your diseased emotions, and you can be honest with him because he likes you and he will not like you. You can run to him because you will encounter him. You'll encounter how much he loves you. And when you encounter how much he loves you, you will love yourself. You will love him. You will love to walk in holiness, to walk in righteousness. You will love to look like you feel. Y'all, that's what it's all about. Knowing him, finding our identity. And when you know him, you act like him. When you believe he loves you, you act like he loved you. You come fearlessly to him. So I know when I see fear in my heart, I can say, I'm not really believing you love me here, Lord. The enemy tries to draw us down the wrong. He tries to draw us down the wrong path. And sometimes of condemnation. And sometimes, y'all, his voice can sound actually a little bit, you can get confused thinking that that voice is the Lord. Because it seems like it's a good thing that the Lord's telling you, well, you shouldn't have done that, because he's telling you you shouldn't have done something bad. So shouldn't that be the Lord's voice telling you? You know, you can get confused and think that when you're seeing your sin and you're being conscious of your sin, that it's the voice of God. But it's not, because he can tell you what you do all day long. You already know that. He could sit and just and point out to you what you do all day long, and it won't change you. And that's just not how God is. His heart is to transform us. We're already his righteousness. He wants to transform us in the outer man. And he knows that the only way to be transformed is to know that you're loved. The only way to be transformed is to know that you're already transformed, that you're already the righteousness of God. I mean, it isn't like I can become it. I am it. And it is a life-changing way to look, change of thought. It's life-changing way to look at things. Night and day for me, night and day. And it takes revelation from the Lord. And you get that revelation by pressing in. The Lord, he knows already that it's going to take time. It says in, which verse is that? Colossians 2:7, that we're being built up in faith. I'm going to read that, actually. So, having been deeply rooted, and that's what we are, in him. We are deeply rooted. We're the righteousness of God. We are being built up in him and established in our faith. So a big part of it is being established in our faith. Because I think probably one of the biggest battles is just believing how good God is. But God knows that. So he knows that you're only going to find it when you come to him, and he can prove himself to you over and over again. And so he's very patient, y'all. He gives us wide, soft margins to grow. We're being built up in our faith. What's our faith? Believing that we are the righteousness of Christ. Believing that our identity is in Jesus. That's it. That's we're being built up into that. We start out little bitty babies. We get this revelation, and now you get built up into it. You get built up more and more, which you're just believing more and more. In Romans 5, 3 and 4. And not only this, but with joy, let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardship produces patient endurance, and endurance, proven character, and proven character, hope and confident assurance for eternal salvation. Okay. I believe here, when it says proven character, that he's talking about himself. He proves his character to us. When he proves his character to us, we go through trials and we'll say it's to get to know him. When God will take us through trials, it's to get to know him better. A lot of people, though, they'll think, God's doing something in me. Well, he is doing something in us. He's teaching us who he is. He's leading us to himself. The source of our whole being, the source of everything that we have, everything that we are, is him. So you have to know him. You have to get in his presence. You have to learn him. And hardships and distress causes us to press in harder. And through those times, as we come out of that, what happens? Yeah, we do look more like, it does something in us. We do look more like God, but we look more like him because we encountered him. We found out who he is. I found out he's completely faithful. I'm resting in his faithfulness. What happens when you rest in his faithfulness? You walk in faithfulness. You look like that. You live like that. You see that character in yourself, but you see that character because you saw it in him first. He proved himself to you, and then he starts living that through you. All the Lord asks from us is that we yield to him. The only place in Scripture where God really is looking and lets us make a choice, and even that, he puts us in the position we need to be in that we will make the choice. It always originates in him. Is when we make the choice with our will. You know that scripture that talks about, and it's in Hebrews, striving to enter that rest? You probably know what it is, don't you? That's the only place really in scripture that I know of that God says to strive. That's your will, where you're yielding your will to him. You're yielding and you're seeking him. You're making the choice. Scripture says fight the good fight. The fight to stay in his presence. To stay, to yield to that. To yield to pursuing him. To enter into that rest. It's the only place that I know of that Jesus says, fight that fight. And even then, you're fighting in his power. So you're abiding in him, in his power. But you do that more, the more that you fight that good fight, the more that you yield to him, the more you find yourself face to face with him, the more you love him, the more you become like him, the more you become secure with who you are. Condemnation makes me so mad because it just produces nothing but self-hatred. Because it never causes you to hate the sin. You just hate yourself for doing it. Which, as we all know, does not work. So that's kind of where I've been. That's been my story. And just it's made me fall in love with the Lord all over again, y'all. I'm blown away by just that tweaking of thought that I'm not trying to get something or I'm not trying to become something, but I am, has changed me so much, has rocked my world. And my prayer is that nobody leaves here without having that in their soul, without believing that, without starting that journey of just, which most of everybody I know, I'm pretty much know everybody in here, so you've already been on the journey, but So that revelation that I got, that God's just been blowing me away with, well, y'all, that's just one little piece of his beauty. That's just one little thing about his beauty. There's so much more for me to discover, for us to discover. There's so much more to encounter. And that rocked my world so much and did such a transforming thing in me that it's made me super excited about what's next, about what he's going to show me next. You know, all I want to do is hear more. I just want to hear more. I want to know more. I can tell when I'm listening to something Bishop's preaching or somebody, anybody, that I don't really, really get, okay? I can tell, okay, Lord, I'm not really getting that. I want to get it. I want to see it. I hear it. I want to see it with my heart. And I can feel that. And I'll just start like, Lord, and I've my expectations now are that he's going to show it to me. And it's happening. The encounters are happening faster. And I'm sharing this because this is everybody's expectation, should be that. And I believe that if you come here, it could be happening at everybody's church, I don't know. But I believe if you come here and it's happening here, then you take it with you. It's now, you're in that same place. Your encounters are, the doors are open for just massive encounters. And so my prayer is that nobody leaves here not convinced that they already are the righteousness of Christ, because if you're convinced of that, condemnation doesn't have a voice in your head. He tries to sneak in because he's a little fox sometimes, but God is so faithful to catch those foxes. And I'm telling you, put your foot down if one of those little foxes is trying to get on you. You start comparing yourself to somebody. You know, comparing yourself is a form of condemnation, because you never, ever, ever seem better. I didn't realize that. I was listening to a couple ladies I knew preach that I just love, and I was thinking, I bet they just don't ever struggle with this and that. And literally, all of a sudden, ding, they're not any better than me. They're standing before God. Their identity is my identity. It's Jesus. They're not any better than me. But the main thing is, that's not even it. The Lord said, quit comparing yourself. You're you, and I love you, and I like you, and you're the you I want. And that, so, yeah, comparing yourself is a form of condemnation. But anyway, that's where we're at, and I'm crying out for more and living what I already have. So I just pray that just revelation, I want more for y'all. In Jesus' name, amen.